This morning we have several prayer requests that we want to let you know about. We'll just remain standing. Brother Frank Williams turns in a prayer request for his brother Mike Fitchett today, that the Lord would just be with him and bring him back to the house of the Lord. We just want to pray for Brother Mike, that God would just encourage his heart and bring him back to the house of the Lord. Brother Mike Buddington turns this in. Brother Jimmy, as you get ready to come this morning, said, I would like to dedicate my new home to the service and the glory of the Lord. Thank you and God bless you. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning. Brother Darrell, talking about atmosphere last night, how that some places you go, you don't care to go to the refrigerator to make yourself a sandwich. Some places you go, you're afraid to even sit down. I want a good atmosphere, don't you? Amen. Here's actually a testimony. Brother Bert and Sister Jill turns this in. Says, we want to thank our wonderful Lord for all of His wonderful blessings, both great and what we sometimes wrongly think of as small blessings. We had lost something that was very important and had expired all possibility of finding it within a certain required time. It was totally committed to the Lord and left in His hands. It turned up where we would never have looked, just in time for its intended purpose. We just love and thank Him, Brother Bert and Sister Jill. That's a good testimony this morning, isn't it? Amen. God is so mindful and so good to us. How many unspoken prayer requests do we have in the building today? The Lord just bless you today. You hold that prayer request. Brother Jimmy, if you'd come at this time. We're just thankful for what God is doing for us. You just commit your need to the Lord today.
Let's just all pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we just humbly come before You this morning, desiring, Father, to come with the right approach and the right attitude this morning. Our hearts, Lord, full of thanksgiving for choosing us, and as the Scripture says, making us a peculiar people in this hour. Peculiar, Father, in that our minds are continually upon You, Father, because our whole world, it evolves around You. Because You've brought us out of a spiritual darkness into Your glorious light. Brought us to a place, Father, that we can gather around and partake of fresh baked manna with no leaven, Lord. Thank You for that, Father. Lord, as children of light this morning, we come asking You for these needs and these requests, Lord. Lord, there's people that's had confidence in this little body's prayers because they come and they make them known to You and to us. And Lord, as a member of this little body, I couldn't stand here and pray some kind of pretty prayer, Lord. It's not in me to do it. But Lord, we can stand here and pray a prayer of faith because we are the seed of Abraham. Based upon that, Father, and based upon a word that said that You're ever-present help in the time of need, based upon a finished work at Calvary, a price that has already been paid, Father, we commit every request and every need to You this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning as we, Your little bride, as we feel that pressure mounting more and more, may we realize, Father, there's just one place that we can let off that pressure, and that's in You, Lord. As the little rabbit, as he felt the hounds of hell breath upon him, and he leaped in that hole in the rock and let off the pressure, Father, so is it with us, Lord. May we hide ourselves in You, Lord, that there's nothing can get to us, Father. May we realize that. Be with us this morning in the service. We commit everything said and done to You in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you'll turn for the scripture reading at Psalms 40. We'll read Psalms 40, verses 1 through 8. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and we'll alternate and read the last verse, number 8, together. I'm certainly conscious this morning of being a sub for Brother Daniel. I really appreciate him, and his little mini stories on Sunday morning are certainly a blessing and very timely, very virtuous. I certainly couldn't take his place this morning. I appreciate him and miss him this morning. Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is in my heart.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering. There's an announcement on the bulletin board that would concern the sisters of the church. You'd notice that there's going to be some things going on here Tuesday night. So all the sisters of the church, if you just notice the bulletin board as you leave today. Also, Sister Missy Ward, I think she celebrates her 25th birthday this coming Tuesday. And we certainly want to wish her a happy birthday. And also, it's been 5 years since Missy had the bone marrow transplant, and doctors say that 5 years is the turning point, and the patient, if they make it 5 years, they're apt to do real well the rest of their life. I'm glad that God knew that before doctors ever thought about it, aren't you? And we certainly appreciate Missy. We just appreciate her life. She means a lot to the church here, don't she? Amen. Let's just give Missy a nice hand clap this morning. A couple of songs. I want to read you a little something this morning. It's a prayer that Brother Branham prayed. I just read it. I wanted Brother Harry to read it. Just a simple prayer, but got such a wonderful meaning to me anyway. It kind of goes along with what Brother Jimmy read in the scripture this morning and his words. It's from the message, "Who is this Melchizedek?" Brother Branham says, "Dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of only believe. It makes us to know that it's all we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry, as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." That's what we pray today, isn't it? We thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days. It makes our heart most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical and material evidences, as he did in the days gone by. And as he has promised for this day, we're so grateful to thee, our God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we have found the safety zone, the retreat. Aren't you glad you found that safety zone today? I'm so thankful for it. I know you are too. Brother Kevin's going to sing for you. At this time, Brother Harry's going to sing after he sings. So you just worship with the singers today.
I hate to sing the song again, but somebody requested it. Circumstances
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and now by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of His cross. And every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ
alone. Opportunity to welcome all of our visitors in this service today. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate God just bringing you to this place. Hopefully you'll hear something that'll just bless your heart today real good. I want to say that I certainly appreciate my mother getting to be in the service today. Just discharged from the hospital on Friday, and she didn't know if she was going to be able to come. She was real weak. I said, well, you might as well be weak at church as weak at home. So she's here in the service today, and I certainly appreciate my mother today getting to be in the service. The Lord bless you. Let's sing The Lighthouse. His brother Donnie's here to speak for us this morning, so let's just look to what God would have for us in the service today. Yes, I thank God.
Engagement to be married and tentative date for December the 30th. And planning on leaving here, he said. Had some people asked him whether he was going to move there or stay here, but he wanted me to let everybody know he's planning on staying here. We're real happy for our brother. St. John chapter 4, verse 16. Very familiar scripture that we want to read this morning. Two places, John 4, Luke 7. And if the Lord would help me today, I'd like to speak to you on scarred human beings. Scarred human beings. John 4, 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Luke 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. The Pharisee which had bidden him saw it. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let's pray. My Father, I pray today, may I be an instrument that you can take and speak to your children today. Lord, I know that we have lots of hurting people and scarred people. And I know there's only one way for the cycle of scars to be broken. That's for you to heal us. I pray in the name of Jesus, the word of God would come forth today, and that you would be able to take that word and speak to our hearts and just meet our needs, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you would help me, that I could just submit myself to you and to your presence. May you just anoint me and anoint the people that we can receive from you, Lord. Help us, we ask today, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't God good to us? You may be seated. God bless you. These two women that we've read about are probably two very, very famous characters of the scripture. And they have something quite in common. Not just the attributes of being a woman, a female, as far as being messed up sexually or by marriage or that way, but there's actually a cause that we want to look at this morning. What affected these women to be in the condition that they were? And remember, our thought is scarred human beings. I believe that there's probably many of you that are sitting here today that many of the problems in your life go back and tie back to scars that you received either when you were a child, maybe a teenager, maybe growing up, maybe coming from a divorced home, maybe being raised by a single parent, coming from a home that you lacked the true kind of balanced love that you needed. And because of that, many of us around the message bear those scars today. Those scars can carry on for many generations until the Word of God comes and breaks the effect of that scar in a person's life. Now, I want to read something to you this morning. I want you to listen to me carefully. Influence in Shreveport. Brother Ben's talking about this little woman at the well. I found this week and these other statements I'm going to read to you. Brother Ben said, here she was standing, as we would call her today, a woman of ill fame, a street prostitute. And he said this child had been turned out on the street and let go by her parents. And too many of them today, she was a lovely, pretty, young teenage girl in her 18th year. Now this woman at the well, it was not a woman that was in her 30s, in her 40s, in her 50s. But the prophet of God said she was 18 years old. She had had 5 husbands and was living with a man that was not her husband. What had caused it? You know, now so much of the time we look at her and say, she was sorry, she was low down, she was no good. Truly she was. But actually the cause of this woman's behavior went back beyond even her own will. It went back beyond even the influence over her own life. She hadn't learned enough at the age of 18 years old to be exposed personally to sin on a first-hand basis. But it was something that happened to her that she became so greatly influenced. And her life was so scarred. What was that scar? A mother and a father that turned her out on the street. A mother and a father that didn't have time to raise her. A mother and a father that would let her go and not face up to the responsibility of bringing this child up right, yet her name was in the book of life. And Jesus, when he come to this earth, he must needs go by Samaria. Why? There's a child of God laying down there in the slum of sin. There's a predestinated seed. It's hid down there in the darkness of the world. It's all scarred up with things of life, but yet its name is on the book of life. The prophet said in her 18th year, and just been out of high school, but she took the wrong road in life. Here again, 1962, he said, while the disciples were gone, there was a pretty woman that came out there, and she was ill-famed. You know what I mean, a red light woman. And he said she was a lovely girl. But there had been something to cause that. And he said her mother had turned her out on the street when she was a kid. We talk so much about juvenile delinquency. He said it's not juvenile delinquency, it is parent delinquency. Sometimes a girl goes wrong because her mother won't make her do right. Now listen to me, parents, as we said here this morning, many of you, your children are gone. And many of you behaved in your family because a scar that was put on you, that possibly was a scar that was put on your mother, that possibly was a scar put on your grandmother, that was possibly a scar that was put on your great-grandmother, and on back and on back and on back. But brother, there's only one thing that is able by the Spirit of God to break scars, and that is the Word. Now listen, Satan has studied human behavior. He studied the genetics, the hereditary makeup of human beings. And Satan found out many years ago that if he could hybridize the foods that we eat, it would break down the cells. Then by us taking those foods in our body, it would break down our genetic makeup. And once a person got cancer in their cells, once they got kidney trouble in their cells, once they got these problems in their cells, when they had children, they in turn passed those problems right on down to their children. Now I'm going to tell you something. Satan not only studied that in the physical realm, but Satan knew the makeup of man. Now, I've spent a lot of time preaching to you about your body, and I've spent a lot of time preaching to you about your soul. But this morning I want to contact your communication channel, which is your spirit. You see, the spirit of man is that part which has the affection, the memory, the conscience, and all that. And when a person is deeply wounded, it is not your mind that contains that hurt. You think it is. No, it's not. It is not your mind, because your brain, the prophet said, you do not think with your mind, neither do you love with your body, but you love with your spirit. And a wounded spirit is like a wounded cell. How does cancer start? Cancer starts from a wounded cell. A cell will be bruised and wounded, and a spirit will come and attach itself to that bruised cell, and from there it forms a disease. How are there many things in our life that we face even today because a person got their spirit wounded when they were a child, or they got offended when they were a child? Maybe they got molested. Maybe they was raised up in a cold home, and it's stored there inside their spirit. And a person without the Holy Ghost, they begin to act out this storage that is in their spirit. And even a person that is born again with the Holy Ghost, with their soul sealed, even though the devil may not be able to make you act it out, he still holds it in your spirit. It still causes bad memories. It still causes bad relationships with other people. Now Jesus, you know, just to think, what in the world is he doing? The prophet said the disciples stood there and watched Jesus, and he's talking to this woman, ill fame, and they could not believe Jesus was talking to such a woman like this. And Jesus said, go get your husband. Now what was he doing? He was contacting her soul? No. Her body? No. Her spirit. In her spirit was her life. In her spirit was the storage of all these scars. Listen to this. Sometimes a girl goes wrong because her mother don't make her do right. Now listen, friend. You watch a woman that has been raised in a cold, bad home. And if that woman is not careful, she'll do one or two things. That woman will raise up her children to be like her. Or she will go the opposite direction with some leniency. She will turn and put a deeper scar on them than what she has on herself. And sometimes we think, well, you know, I was raised in a cold home and I didn't have much love, and I'm going to show my children how much I love them. And we think letting them do whatever they want to do is showing love. Letting them come in at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, oh well, they can do whatever they want to do, they're at liberty. That's not love. That's not expressing to them your love. You are only scarring them. Say, man, we're the message. We're beyond this, far away. If I had the ability this morning by discernment, I don't have that, to contact every one of your spirits, I could probably go down in there and find all kinds of things that's caused you to be the way you are today. Many of our marriages, the reason there's such struggles that go on in between them is because way back yonder somewhere in a person's life, there was something happened. You watch a girl that's not raised up in the right kind of home, and they'll have the right kind of relationship with her father, and you watch that girl when she gets married. And you watch and see what goes on inside her marriage. Even though she may have the Holy Ghost, even though she may be a child of God, if God does not help her to see that scar and heal up that scar in her spirit, she'll never be able to feel toward that man like she ought to, because she never had a real love from a father. So she looks at this man as her husband, but somehow she also looks to him as father, and it's always confusing. And what does it do? Her children, her daughters, her family, and then they come up, and because of this, she scars their life. And they scar theirs, and they scar theirs, and they scar theirs, and they scar theirs. And it just keeps going on. But God has given us a word in this hour to get right down to where the scars are, and that our spirits can be healed from scars that's been placed there by parents that didn't care, by preachers that disappointed you, by people that let you down. Can you imagine this woman at the well, 18 years old, 5 husbands, and now living with a man that she's not even married to? And what was the cause? Because she had a mother, that said, honey, do whatever you want to do. Just go ahead. Mama loves you. Mama was raised in a bad home. And my mom, my daddy and my mama was real strict on me. And I love you and I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do, honey. And she did. 18 years old. Married 5 times. Why? A mama that scarred her life. Now she didn't have the real kind of love that she should have had at home. So what did she do? She went out looking for it out here. And she'd married this man and it didn't work out. She'd married this one, it didn't work out. She married this one, it didn't work out. She married that one, it didn't work out. She married another, it didn't work out. She said, I'm sick of marriage. I'm just going to start living with him. What was the cause? She was scarred. Scarred. Now maybe her mother was scarred. And her mother before her. And her mother before her. And maybe her father and an uncle. And this and that. Because you see, many of these things, friends, are strains that runs in families. And it affects people and it'll come right on down until the person can recognize by the word. Listen, you raising your children, if you don't have children today, you are sitting here as a mortal. Either you are scarring others or you are trying to help them get healed of their scars. Look at this. Jesus came by the city of Sychar. There's several of these. I just want to read a few of them to you. He sent the disciples away to buy food. And while they were gone, a little woman came out there. Pretty little woman. Maybe the child was turned out on the street by her parents. And let her go anyway. Just do whatever she wanted to do. Talk about juvenile delinquency. It's parent delinquency. That's what it is. Maybe that child had the same thing. Her mother let her do anything. It's easy for us to point our finger when our child goes wayward. Well, the pastor done this, the preacher, the this, that, the other. It is your responsibility to raise your children, not mine. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. God never gave you an electronic babysitter, call a television or a monitor for you to raise your child by. There ain't nothing that'll take the place of a godly father and a godly mother. It is not my responsibility as the pastor of this church to raise your children. I'm afraid, friends, we have played around and played around and played around and not been serious with this thing. Do you realize, brothers, listen to me, you men. Do you realize the way you treat your wife, if you've got a son in your home or a daughter in your home, the way you treat your wife, the way you honor her, love her, and respect her, you are putting before your son that, look, son, this is the way a real marriage is supposed to be. This is the way you're supposed to do. You're supposed to smack them and hit them and talk to them bad and be mean to them. Do you realize that's what you're putting before that boy? God have mercy on the girl that he marries, because you're scarring that boy. You're putting a scar there. And when he gets married, he'll raise his son, and he'll raise his son, and he'll raise his son. Oh, but brother, God has come down in this last day to break the scars of Satan on our life. Hallelujah. Her mother would let her do anything. And she turned out to be a woman of ill fame. Now listen to what the prophet said about this prostitute we just read about, Luke 7. He said she made her money by ill fame, and she had a bad name among the people. And she was just a young woman. She had been turned out on the street. Wasn't because she was delinquent, but because she had delinquent parents and they didn't try to take care of her. Now who was to blame? He didn't say the priest. He didn't say the clergy. He didn't say the church. The parents of both of these women that turned out to be whores, the parents had pushed them off. We don't have time for you, Mary. We don't have time for you, this, that, the other. We're busy. We're in the work of the Lord. We're doing this and that and the other. Go ahead, do what you want to do. Just get out of our hair. Stay out as long as you want to. We ain't got no curfew around here. Stay out till 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Is that a good representation of Christianity? Come on, church, don't you get quiet on me this morning. Do you realize you are scarring that child? You raise up that child with no rules, no regulations in your home. Do you realize what you are making? Oh, I'm loving them. No, you're not. You're scarring them. Look what it done. Maybe this mother thought, oh, I was mistreated as a girl, and I love my little girl. I don't never want her to be scarred the way I was. And she turned out to be a whore. So she scars us so deeply. She goes to looking for love. But the kind of love she gets is the kind you buy and sell.
Amen.
Why? Her spirit was so scarred. Nobody really loves me. Nobody really does care. You take a man and a woman. A man that's been raised in a cold home. A girl that's been raised in a cold home. You put both of them together. If they don't understand their situation, ask God to help them. They will drive one another insane. Because he's wanting so much love. She's wanting so much love. And they pull constantly on one another. Why? It's not many times because it's the lack of a wife love or a husband love. But they were raised in such a home that their parents didn't have time to talk to them. Their parents didn't have time to sit down and put their arms around and say, honey, I love you. I want you to know mama loves you. And daddy loves you. I'm proud of you. They've never done that. I wonder how many of you can recall your father ever putting his arm around you and saying, son, I'm so proud of you. You're my boy. I love you. Thank God for you. I love you, son. How many of you sisters can recall your daddy or your mama looking you in the face and saying, honey, I love you so much. You have been such a joy to our home. We so love you. You sit here this morning and tell me it don't bother you. Some of you sit here 50 and 60 years old, and when I mention this to you, something begins to move in you. You know where it is? It's your spirit. Because through the channel of memory, I brought it back to you. Some of you already, no longer than I've dealt with this, already things in your childhood has popped that butt before you. Why? It's not because the body remembers it so much. It's not so much the soul, but it's down inside that communication channel, the spirit. Brother, sister, I don't believe God wants to just heal our body. I don't believe God wants to just heal our soul. But I believe God wants to heal our spirit. When I was just a kid, me and Harry and my sisters, we was raised there in Kentucky and lived near a patch of woods. And we was all the time in those woods. I knew it just out the back of my hand. One day we went out there to have a picnic. We come out on a little point over a water hole, a swimming hole we used to swim in as a creek. We come down through there, and here come a fox running down. And I'd never seen a fox that way before, acting the way it was. Slobbers coming out of his mouth and running. And oh my, it terrified me and my sisters and Harry. And we were just small. All of us wasn't very big. I was maybe 12, 13 years old, something like that. And it come down there, and we started to run. And my little sister, she fell down. And when she did, that fox come over and she started putting her arms over her face to shelter herself. And when she did, that fox began to nibble on her arms. And whenever I saw that, I just couldn't take that. That was my sister. I wasn't no fighter. I didn't know what to do. But as any typical country boy, I had a pocket knife in my pocket. And I got that pocket knife out. It wouldn't cut nothing. But I grabbed it out. I couldn't stand there and let my little sister be eaten up by that animal. And I grabbed out that pocket knife, and when I did, and I started to stab that fox, and whenever I did, he grabbed me right there in the hand, and he laid my hand wide open from here down to here. I've still got the scar this morning. And every time I think of a fox, every time I see one on the side of a road, it comes back, a flashback. It happens so quick. That fox bit me, tore my hand open. My sisters and my brother running, me scared. I stayed behind them, being the oldest of the family, and my hand went numb. I didn't know what to do. I broke an old dead limb off of a tree, and I laid it across my arm like this, carrying it. I thought if he comes back, I'll hit him again. And we ran to the house, and on the way to the doctor, I told my mama, I said, mama, please, if I go mad, don't let me bite the kids. You know why I told that? Because my grandmother had told me about a little boy that had rabies that went mad and had to chain him to a bed. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, because she could spin a lot of tales. But it scarred me.
And as soon as I thought, oh God, I've been fox bit, I'll go mad. Every time I see a fox, there's the memory of it. Every time I read about a rabid dog or a coon or something, it flashes back something. What is that? It's a scar. And those of you that were raised in a home that you didn't have the right kind of love, and maybe you stand after church and you watch a father and a daughter or a father and a son that loving God and serving God, and you see that father speaking to that son and you stand there, and in your spirit you have got a moment of recall of how your daddy treated you. And if you are not careful, and by the help and the grace of God, you will hand that or the reversal of that down to your child. If you despise it and you say, I'll never do that to my child, I'm going to let my child know that I love it, and then you just take all the reins loose and all the boundaries loose, let them come and go as they please, let them do this and that and the other. Or you say, well, Brother Donnie, they're not claiming to serve the Lord, you know, they're living in my house and I'm going to let them do anything they want to do. I read last week where the prophet was talking about Sister Meadie and women smoking. He said, if she ever takes up a cigarette, she'll move out of this house, because she ain't staying here and living that way. And what are we doing? We are scarring them with so-called liberty and love. Take a good lesson from God. God don't let you do as you please, when you please. God has rules and regulations that you've got to follow. That's right. And we looked at these women. The lies for years we've looked at and said, well, that filthy prostitute. This morning, let us turn back to her mother. Say, did you ever think she would turn out this way? I never thought she would do that. I only wanted her to have freedom. I really didn't have time, you see, to raise her. Because me and my husband, we wanted so much, you see. We wanted to buy a boat, and we wanted to buy this and that and the other. And I just didn't have time to raise my kids. I just didn't have time because we wanted so many things, you see. And we scarred them. Now, there was something ordained of life in each of these women. And she comes up, this woman, this prostitute, sees Jesus sitting there, scarred, just like the woman at the well, turned out on the street. Get out of my hair. I'm busy. I've got to make money. I've got to do this. You men, God have mercy on your souls. If you would father a child and bring it into this earth and not accept the responsibility to show that child how much you love it. Brother Donnie, I never come from a good home. Well, brother, look. Now we've got truth. You can break that cycle. You can break it and keep it from going on down. My daddy never loved me like I thought he should either. But by the grace of God, the cycle stops right here. I forbid it to go on any farther, because I have truth. My daddy don't know this. My daddy maybe didn't understand the responsibility. My daddy maybe didn't understand the scar he was going to leave on my life. That even when I look today, 39 years old, and I see men that are close to their son, I see Brother Cobb and his sons, how close they are, how they talk to one another, how they relate back and forth to one another, and I stand there and look at that. Here I am, 39 years old, and I still miss that. But I refuse for that to go on down into my daughters and scar them. And then from theirs on down, if there would be other generations, I believe the scar can stop right here. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Brother Jeff Jenkins was telling the other night in the camp there in Ohio, that his mother, he come from a divorced home. His mother left. Brother Lonnie divorced him. And Brother Jeff said, his wife told him, he said, you've got a bad feeling towards your mother. He said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. Said, because it reflects to me. You'll talk about her nice, start out nice, but then you always wind up picking, throwing off on her. And he said, then when you do that, it comes back to your love toward me. Why? Because the man, that fellowship, that relationship with his mother wasn't right when he was growing up. It wasn't exactly right. So he said, well, if I have, I want to take care of that by the grace of God. So he flew to California, got around his mother. He said every time he tried to hug her, she'd turn away from him. Said he asked his sister one day, why does mom do that? He said, Jeff, she was molested by an uncle when she was 7 years old. So her feelings toward men, she can't trust them. Then she started out, started living promiscuously, having all kinds of affairs and this and that and the other. And then what did it do? Scarred her. Then she come down and scarred hers. And what was Brother Jeff doing? Scarring his wife. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Do you see how cruel Satan is? Many of you, you may say here this morning, you think, God, my daddy never done this, my mama never done this. But listen, friend, maybe they were scarred too. Without looking back, and the prophet of God had the ability to go back generation after generation after generation and trace it down. I don't have that ability this morning. But if you're sitting here and something in your heart that way, and you've been scarred, let's say, God, by your help, I want that to stop with me and not go on in another generation. You sitting here, many of you, you've come from scarred backgrounds since you started serving the Lord. How many of you sat under ministries that scarred your heart? Fell from the Word of God. Fell into some kind of doctrines that wasn't right. Or fell after money or fell after women. And what did that do? That put a scar on you. Some of you, as much as you love me, you still don't trust me. And I can understand that. Because you see, once anybody ever gets a hold of our spirit good enough to scar it, we put up a shield around us. And we let no one come beyond that shield. We trust no one that closely again. We trust no one. Why? It's a scar. Many of you said to you, you know you've got them. I've shared with you my experience as a child, things that happened to me, how it scarred me, how it's affected me, that even now in the message of the hour, preaching the gospel filled with the Holy Ghost, yet there's things that still recalls and brings back that scar. I don't believe it's in my soul, because I believe my soul is filled with the Holy Ghost. But where is it contained at? In that realm of the human spirit. You watch a girl that comes out of a home. Maybe her father committed adultery on the mother. And you watch that girl. She'll have a hard time ever fully trusting her husband. Why? That scar was embedded so in her spirit. If he comes in late from work, where you been? Where you been? Well, I had a flat tire. Sure you did. What is it? That scar surfacing. If she sees a woman looking at him, he may never do anything out of the way. But because that is so scarred inside of her spirit, it scarred so deeply, her motivation, she looks at it, she watches. Why? Because that scar is so bulging out. It is so pierced her spirit. It's caused her very far. A girl that was molested as a girl or as a young woman, if God don't help that woman when she gets married, she'll never be able to give herself to her husband in the right frame of mind. Because every time they come together in the carnal act, that abuse, that scar will come before her. And she will hate anything associated with sex. Anything. Anything at all. Why? That scar. That scar embedded into her spirit. And she comes up on the defensive. Oh, friends. There's many of the things that you and I have received. We received them by hereditary genetics that was given to us by mother and father. But there's many of the things that we of God, people have done it to us. People. I've been scarred by preachers. I've been scarred by laity. I love you, my friends, with all of my heart. I love you. I want to help you. I want to help beyond your scars. But you see, all of us, if you're very old here this morning, teenager, you've probably been hurt by teenagers. You've probably been hurt by young people in this church, and Satan starts out so young trying to scar our lives. Let me read you a couple of them. Watch the cunningness of this enemy. The prophet said, I see you, you're 16 years old, you're running as hard as you can run. You got a great big ribbon tied in your hair, and you got a double plait hanging down the back. You got a checkered dress on. You're running real fast. There's a big yellow dog chasing you. Now, I want you to think, this woman was maybe one opportunity in a lifetime to stand before the prophet of God. And he tells her, a dog chased her. Why? In her spirit, that fear is still there. Maybe her mind forgot about it. As a matter of fact, she said she did. And she said, no, the checkered dress. And I said, the young lady said, she began to scream out. And there she was standing in front of me and said, I had never thought of that in my life. It was not just so much in the brain up here, but it was laying there inside the spirit. Why do you think the prophet of God would try to contact people's spirit? He wasn't reading their mind because their mind didn't know everything. The mind does not have total recall. It is not the brain that is scarred. It is the spirit. And he would contact her spirit. As a matter of fact, he said it like this. I've got to contact your spirit first so I can see what's happened in your life. Now, if you repented from it and it's something that's healed over, God can't even show it to the prophet because it's done take care of. But if it's something that's laying there that is a cause of something else. Oh, you say, what difference does it make? Friends, scars can cause cancer. Scars can cause worry. Scars can cause nervousness. Scars can cause marriage problems, financial problems. And yet you look at it and you figure out and you try to figure out everything and you don't know the answer. Here is the answer to many people. It's a scar that lives deep within them. I want to tell you something. Some of you people, you've been so hurt by preachers. Some of you didn't have no confidence in preachers at all. I remember the Johnson family when I first started getting around them and going preaching for them and stuff. They were so scarred and so hurt and so wounded. When I started preaching for them, they want me to come up. And I would say, we'll take care of your motel room and give you an offering. I said, I'll come on one basis. No offering. I'll buy my gas and I'll buy my motel room. That's the only reason and the only way I'll come. Because they've been around so many preachers because they had a business. And they come around with their hands out like this. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Amen. And for a while, I had to put up with the preacher jokes. No, I don't mean this offends y'all, you know. You know, well, preacher's this and preacher's that and preacher the other. But somehow I felt like whenever I met them, that God, because they don't know the times after I'd see them in Virginia or here or wherever it was, that God would lay them on my heart and I'd wake up in different hours of the morning and night and God just put a burden out. I'd go to praying for them. Because I knew they had been so hurt and so offended and it was a scar laying there. But I felt like, don't take it the wrong way now, I felt like that God had put in me a portion of the balm of Gilead. And that God, hallelujah, not through me now because I can't do anything no more than you can. But God, listen friend, how many people out there are hurting? And maybe God could pour some balm inside of you to be able to help somebody that's been scarred. A lot of people don't think there's any Christians anymore that's living right. But let God use you to prove to them that's not right. Scarred. So embedded. So prevalent. Their lives wrapped around it. But I've seen the Holy Spirit begin to take the word, not my personality because I ain't got much of one, but take that word and just begin to rub some ointment on that scar. And they let down a little bit more every time I get around them. Let down a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And many of you have been the same way. You've been so hurt and so scarred. Do you think it's the personality of Donnie Reagan or some other man that could ever heal you? I tell you no. I don't have the ability, and there is no other man that can heal you, brother, from scars that's taking place inside of your heart. And those scars may always be there. But I don't think God wants it to be a constant, open, festering sore that is all the time gurgling out infection and putrefaction. But God wants it to be healed, that we can put it behind us and go on. Scarred human beings. Listen to this. First thing I read you was 1950. This is another 1951. Different individual. You've had some really good teaching in your life, but you've had many sorrows too. You had a great scare one time in your life. Something happened to you when you was a schoolgirl. It was a dog. I see him barking after you, and you jumped and screamed. It's when you was a child. Now that scarred that little girl's spirit. She may have went to this doctor and that doctor and tried this and tried that and tried the other, but it didn't lay so much in her body. Her body was only reflecting something that Satan had attacked when she was wounded as a child. I preached this up in Ohio. The Lord gave it to me while I was gone, and there was a minister, brother, been around the message for years and years and years. He came to me after the service, and he was crying, and he said, you know, he said, I've had nervousness all of my life. And he said, I've never heard anything like this. He never heard it placed this way. And he said, when I sat there tonight, he said, something was brought back to my memory that I had, that I hadn't even tied together in this way. He said, when I was a little boy, a friend of mine, we was camping out in the woods one night. And he said, the next morning when we come out, there was some senior boys that come out from the high school. And he said, they carried a double barrel shotgun. And he said, they loaded both barrels of that gun, and they pulled back both hammers, and they stuck it right to my face. And that barrel laid right against my skin. He said, I've never been so scared in my life. He said, I trembled, I shook, I quivered. He said, but when I heard that word tonight, he said, I thought, oh God, maybe that's been the cause of my problem all these years, that I didn't know what it was. Scars. Scars. Here's another one, 1953. You've always been a little bit nervous when you was a little girl. Coming home from school, that stinking, low-down, rotten devil. Studying the makeup of human beings, seeing this demon would get on this dog to scare this person, to scar their entire life. He would watch another person with their makeup, this same trick will work on them. This same trick will work on them. Same trick will work on them. And it scarred that individual. And they carried that all of their life and not even know and realize what took place. Think of it. Satan anointed a dog. Exactly right. And that dog come out and scare this little girl, and now once in a lifetime opportunity stands before the prophet of God. He don't say your name's on the book of life, you were foreordained, you were this, that, the other. But he goes back to a way, 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 way back to a deep, deep scar. Because from that scar has come this and that and this and that and that. Expose the scar. Wash it by the bleeding word, and the infections will leave. Are you hearing me this morning? Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. I see you coming from school, and I see you going towards a dog. And you got frightened by it way back. You had on a little checkered dress. Remember that? It's all over now. You can be made well. What's that got to do with being sick? A scar. And from that scar come this and this and this. Here's another one. 1956. Now the very thing that's here knows your life. And I see you way back when you was a little girl. You was running from something. It was chasing you. It was a dog. You was coming from school, and it scared you, and you've been nervous all of your life. Now, if an animal, a brute beast, could scar a human being, what about someone called your mother? Someone called your uncle,
that you're over at his house one day. And he begins to do things with you as a little girl that isn't right. If a dog, anointed by a demon, could scar a human being's spirit, what about a man that is called a pastor that feels he has so much liberty? He can begin to date sisters and brother daddy's wife and take the money and do this and that. And you trust him and you have confidence in him. And when you find it out, it puts a great big scar right across your spirit. And maybe not out loud, but within you, you say, I'll never trust another man like that. Never. I'll never have confidence that when another man. This is it. That's why some of you still look at me and shake my hand, but you've got that long distance look in your eye. You know what? Scar. Now, I'm not asking you to make me your absolute, not at all. You do that, you're farther away from God than you was in the beginning. But I can never help you if you don't have confidence in me. That's right. Brother Branham can never help us if we didn't have confidence that God's in his ministry. Friends, don't look to me. I'm not saying that at all. You know what I'm saying. You've heard me preach enough to know I'm not telling you to look at me. But as long as Satan, by our scars, I wonder this morning if we somehow could have a spiritual x-ray machine that would x-ray the spirit of human beings and only the spirit, and place before you here on a gigantic screen as you would pass under the spiritual x-ray for scars. Many of you would be scarred from one end to the other. Your memory has been scarred. Your conscience has been scarred. Your affection has been scarred. Some of you, the reason you can't love your wife the way you ought to, because you come from a family to where that the love wasn't right in your home. And what are you doing? You're all the time accusing her. She don't love me enough. She don't love me enough. She don't love me enough. And many times, friends, it goes right back to them scars that a person received at a childhood. And many people that have been all mixed up in sexual promiscuity before they come to the Word, many times that thing will scar their life. It'll scar their life, and the devil will be there to torment you. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we have one that knows all about scars. His name is Jesus. He was scarred by his friends leaving him. He was scarred by the ministry turning him down. He was scarred by knowing human beings didn't care for him. But he was able to stand there by it all and conquer it every bit. And that Lord Jesus is here to help you face your scars. Here's another one, a boy now, 1957. You're suffering from a nervous condition. You've had it since you was a little boy, since you was a kiddie at school. You got scared one time coming from school. It was a dog crossed your path. It's been many years ago. I hear the prophet contacts this man's spirit, the communication channel. He looks, searches by the Spirit of God, looks down inside that spirit, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection. What happens when a person loses their mind when they go insane? The spirit actually roams. Remember the prophet of God talking about the woman, and he had to go out there and get her spirit? Why? You know why people go insane? They don't have no memory. Memory don't lay in the brain. Amen. It's not so much the brain that itself. Sure, the spirit impregnates and puts it upon the organs that's in the body. But it lays within the spirit. And the prophet said he would have to go out there and search for their spirit and bring it back to their body. That's why they can give people all kinds of medicine. They can diagnose them with this and that and the other. But they don't have the ability, Brother Frank, to go out there and contact that spirit and bring it back inside that body. Remember the prophet talking about the little girl that was up there in Indiana and she lost her mind. And he said he had to go out there and find her spirit. And whenever the Spirit of God helped him to contact this little girl's spirit, she sat there and looked at him and said, I'm Brother Branham, don't you remember me? She just sat there and said, don't you remember me? You used to call me Billy. You was a little bitty girl. And he said, all of a sudden I caught the spirit and said, ever since you was a little girl, you've always wanted to marry a preacher. And he said, as soon as I said that, that broke. Why, down inside of that, he caught that spirit roaming out yonder somewhere, and he brought it back to the body, and by that he was able to get a hold of that scar. Set her free. You got real scared one time coming home from school. You know what? Probably many of you today got scars when you went to school. It was scars when boys would bring books to school that would display women's naked bodies. And you got to looking at things you shouldn't look at. In school, you was exposed to cursing and foul language. And it's so polluted and scarred you. I know what it's like to go to school and try to live for the Lord. I wasn't living in this message. But whenever I was a young kid going to school, them boys would bring all kinds of books to school because they tormented me every day. There wasn't a day went by that they didn't torment me. Call me preacher, call me Moses, call me holy roller, call me all kinds of things. They'd bring books. I'd just be standing there at the locker, standing in the lunchroom somewhere, minding my own business. They'd bring books and just hold them wide open and put them before my face. I'd close my eyes. They'd try to stick their fingers in my eyes and open my eyes. I know what it can do. But you see, I had something even at that time that was greater than that scar they were able to imprint. And I knew that it wasn't right to look at such stuff as that. Amen, Brother Donnie. But many of you, maybe you didn't have that at that time in your life. And it scarred you. And because of that, it even bothers you today, even a haunch. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me this morning. And then we look at it and we wonder, God, why can't I go on with you? What is this problem in my marriage? What is this problem in my life? Scars. Scars. Here's another little boy in 1963, a man standing in. He says, "It's not for you, sir. It's for your little boy." You believe God can tell me his trouble? He's nervous. It was caused from a dog scaring him. A dog scares a boy, affects his spirit. A demon of nervousness comes and anoints that affection, that bruised part of that spirit. You understand what I'm saying, church? But here stands the word of God veiled in a man, a prophet of Malachi 4. And he said, "I want to tell you what your son's trouble is. It's this and this, but the cause is this." See, friends, we so much of the time try to deal with symptoms. Me and my wife, we fuss, we argue. I've got this problem with this and that. That's good. That is only symptoms. What is the cause? And you come to find out. Let me just close. We'll pick it up some other time. Many times people think they have forgiven people that have scarred their lives. I like what Brother Rim said in "Humble Thyself" in 1963. No matter what anybody ever does to you, don't never hold nothing against them in your heart, because if you do, you will build a complex. Oh, we're free from that, are we? Apparently, Brother Bram didn't know it. Apparently, he didn't know it whenever he had built one. Standing in the gap, 1963, and he said, "I let the sick lay." You imagine a prophet of God. He was a human being. "I let the sick lay." Didn't even go pray for him. Let him lay. I built such a complex. Why? People scarred his life. People scarred his life. Now you deal with scars from this side, you, laity. Ministry deals with it from another side. You try to give your life to people and preach the gospel. You hear people talk about you, people in your own church. You think, what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? You know what it is? Satan trying to take someone that maybe didn't even think when they said it, or maybe whoever told it added to what they said. And Satan's trying to take that and scar your spirit. So when you get up to preach, it affects you. When you study, it affects you. When you get ready to schedule meetings, it affects you. See, scars. Scars. And sometimes you can think, I forgive that person. I know I have. I forgive them. Have we really? I told it to you before. The preacher molested me as a kid. It took me years and years and years to be able to look that man in the face and not want to mash his mouth. It took me a long time to get to a place
till I could look at that man and not feel something raised up within me. That I would want to kick him. I'd want to hit him. I'd want to just mash him in the face. A scar. A scar. But today, by the help of the Lord, I believe I can shake hands with that man. I believe I can look him right in the face and say, I feel no remorse towards you. Still, it has put a scar that any time I'm alone with a brother, when preachers come and pick me up at the airport and they turn a tape on, they even move their hand, it scares me. I watch every move. You know why? That scar. For a brief moment, I renew. Sisters, many of them abused as little girls. Got out and got wild and done things in the world. Scarred them. They come to church. They love you. You've changed their life. But that scar runs so deep in the human spirit. Lord God, Satan has been exposed this morning. Lord, as I sat back there in the study, weeping, shaking under the impact of the Holy Ghost, this morning before coming out and knowing that you were going to do something this morning. Lord God, I pray you would help us today. May we see, Lord. May Satan be exposed in every one of our lives that scarred us. Oh, Jesus, come heal my scars, Lord. If I've got anything there, Lord, that I don't even realize. If I've got anything there, Lord, that causes this or that or the other, please help me. Please help me today, Jesus. Heard Brother Barry Coffey talking about his father. I drank and cursed and never speak to him. Never, ever told him that he loved him. Heard Brother Cobb talk about his father and how he was raised, and how he was raised in a home that was so cold and no love. Neither told him that they loved him. And Lord, then I think of back. Just recently, when one of the sisters of our church told me she always wanted a father that loved her. Lord, what really breaks my heart is to know that her father comes to this church. Oh, we failed, Lord. We've been so scarred ourselves and we don't realize we're doing the same thing. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you're the great physician. Come and heal this morning, Lord. Heal wounded spirits, broken confidences. Lord, help them today that they can realize if that scar, Lord, if that scar continues to dominate their life, they are affecting their children by the very thing they hate. And it will go on to the next generation and on to the next until someone can stand by the word and say, I refuse for it to go any farther. Help us today, Lord. Help us. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. My God, my God. This altar is open for you this morning if you just want to have a little talk with the Lord. You're scarred and you're wounded. What I've spoken to you this morning, something's come back up, produced a funny feeling in your heart. Friend, make sure you forgive that person that scarred you. Make sure. You'll never be able to blot it out of your mind. But make sure you forgive them. Make sure you forgive. Brother Donnie, it was my daddy, it was my mama. They've hurt me so bad. But brother, make sure you forgive. Don't carry that down to your son. Don't carry that down to your daughter. Forgive them. Let Jesus heal your broken spirit this morning. The scars that are so embedded. Oh, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every devil that would try to hinder these people from moving, Lord, being able to face themselves. Some people have a way of blocking it out, God, as if though it didn't happen. Oh, I'm all right, and never deal with it. Help them today, Lord. Not important so much that they come here, but Lord, if they can just right there in their seat, be able to deal with it. God, and realize they've been scarred and that scar is affecting them still. Help them, I pray, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Friend, do you want to be a carrier? Do you want your life to affect your child or grandchild the way you've been affected? Don't be one that will scar. Be one that God can use to help heal. Many preachers in this message, all they've done is produce scars and scars and more scars. God forbid that I would cause any more. God knows that people have had enough. But now I want to be one that can kind of help heal the scars. Help them to live with them, not make more. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here this morning. Just let Him deal with your heart. Many of you was raised in bad homes, in bad situations, in cold homes, and in different homes. Why don't you just say, Lord, I've had a problem with it all of my life. I need help today, God. I've not felt right toward my daddy, toward my mama, whoever it was. Somebody abused you as a child. Somebody molested you. A preacher hurt you. You say, I can't do it. You're right. You cannot do it yourself, but God can help you do it. Now, let me show you something, friend. You watch people. You watch them. Many people that come out of a horrible church split or where a pastor has failed and offended the people, you watch many of the people that come out of that assembly and you watch their attitude, and you'll be able to follow their life a few years later and tell whether or not they forgive that man. Many of them will come down with cancer. Many of them will come down with nervousness. Many of them will come down with all kinds of things because they in their heart, even though the man was wrong, even though the man done wrong, they themselves was not able to forgive him. And once you hold something within your spirit, it scars your spirit, it makes a way for Satan to be able to attach himself to that point in your life. Then sickness, disease, nervousness, this keeps coming back. And it all goes back to that one preacher that let you down. And you've never been able to forgive him. Lord God. Lord God. Oh Lord. Help us today, Jesus. I don't think they realize. Importance of this. Lord, help us today. I don't know of anyone that I've got anything against. But if there is anyone, help me to know it, that I can make it right. I've been offended by people. I've been scarred by people. I've been scarred by preachers. But if there's anyone that I haven't forgiven, help me, Lord, to be able to do it today. Lord God, I know your presence is here. And I believe with all of my heart you give this to me to bring to the people today. Lord, that they can be healed in their spirits. Be able to correct the things that are wrong, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. 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 You married folks, you got constant problems in your marriage and your life, look back and see. There's a cause for it to be there. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart this morning. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 My Lord God, we worship you. Don't be in no hurry now. We're right here in the presence of Jesus. The tender, loving Jesus. You reckon when this woman at the well got saved, Satan left her alone? Reckon he said, well, that's wonderful. She's got saved. She's given her heart to God. There were scars that was embedded on her life. No doubt she had to work on them for years to bring them subject to the Word. You think the prostitute walked out of there that day? No problems the rest of her life. She was a scarred individual. And Satan come right back. You mean to think you believe you're one of them? You filthy thing. Scars. Scars. Oh, hallelujah. But the tender, loving Jesus is able to help you. Don't let it go no farther, friend. If you come from a home that you wasn't loved, don't pass that to your children. And you that are sitting here today, and maybe you're just beginning your home. Maybe you're just started. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe your wife is with a child and you're just getting started. Oh, brother, listen. Listen to our past failures. Listen to our past regrets. Let it stop in your home, a home that doesn't have love. Let it stop there. Don't pass it on to your children. Don't let it go. Stop it. Stop it there. Don't let it go no farther. I know it may seem childish to you. It may seem, oh, that is so simple. Yeah, I agree with you. That is simple. When I finally got married and started leaving home, and just been recently in the last few years, when I would go back to Kentucky, that I would see my daddy put his arm around me and say, Donnie, I love you. And I just almost have to run from him. Because it just, I don't know. I don't know what it does to me. But I thank God. Did you see him put his arms around me and tell me, I love you? And those of you that heard that all of your life, you don't know what it's like. Brother here is my brother this morning in the flesh and my brother in the spirit. But you, children of God, many of you come from a bad family, maybe a divorced home, maybe, but listen, God's give you a family. Open up your eyes and look around. God's give you a family. I can never be your brother. I can never be your mother. I can never be your father. But I am part of your family. Oh, don't you love him? I just feel the love of the Holy Spirit. Oh, so present this morning. Let's just sing it together again. We've got someone. Got in last night, Lord. Laid there, Jesus. Woke up, I don't know how many times in the night. Just on my mind. I could just feel the hurt of you people, Lord. This morning when I woke up, Lord, first thing on my mind, getting up and studying, Lord, I just believe you sent it for a reason, Lord. Help us, I pray, Jesus, to take it to our hearts. Heal our scars. Bind up our wounds, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace. We love you, Jesus. Go with us now, pray. May we take the word and apply it to our lives. May we walk out of here today and say, scars, handed down, offended, wounded, deep scars, stop right here. I refuse to hand them down to my son, my daughter, my friends, my associates. Grant it, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You appreciate it today, friend? I see many of you are hurt and offended. But now, let's just before we leave, I want you to turn your eyes for a moment. Look out here in the world. Now, many of them come from a home to where the mother was molested. Or the father. Something happened that affected them. Now, they're going out here and they're living and affecting theirs. Women taking over politics and government. What's it doing? They're scarring this next generation. Look, it's getting so bad. The human spirit will become so polluted, it will be absolutely untouchable. It'll be so polluted and so perverted and so many attachments that Satan has attached to the wounded human spirit. No love, no real love will even be among them people before long. There won't be none. The only real love left will be among the elected. And their children will be so scarred, and their children will be so scarred, and their children will be so scarred, there won't be nothing left out yonder. Is it any wonder they live the way they do? We look at our kids, we look at the boys and the girls, how they live. Is it any wonder? Look at their mother, and look at her mother, and look at her mother. What stopped it in us? The grace of God. The grace of God. You got your children here this morning? You ought to thank God for them. And if they're not here, listen, don't you lighten up praying for them. You believe God, they're going to be saved. They're our inheritance. Don't you give them to the devil. Don't you turn them over to the devil. You let him stay right there. Well, I just give up. They're probably going to hell. No, you say, God, whatever it takes, you got to break their arm. You got to break their neck. They're going to be saved. I refuse to give my child over to Satan's care. They're coming in. Amen. God bless you, friends. I love you. I didn't even greet you this morning. Sure nice to be back. I just so burdened in my heart when I come out. I love you. I appreciate you. God's good, ain't he? Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together as we go. Can't you see why I'm happy? Praise be to God. Why don't you turn and shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Good to be in church today. Can't you see why I'm happy?